Welcome to City Valley Church. Our vision is to be a family, loving Jesus, growing together and reaching Yorkshire and the nations. We hope you are encouraged and hear Jesus speak to you as you listen to this recording.
So I'm sending you. So we're going to do that. We're going to look at the few verses around. So if you've got a Bible, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. It's on the screen as well. Well-known verses. So verse 19. On the evening of that first day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." And then you have this phrase, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So just a few days earlier, the disciples had witnessed, their Messiah, their teacher, their friend, their companion. They'd spent these 3 years with Jesus, and they just witnessed him being arrested, beaten, whipped, and crucified a horrible, horrific death on a cross. And we read in verse 19 that, you can imagine, can't you, their hopes are dashed, their dreams are dashed. And in verse 19, we read that they're behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Actually, probably fearful that they too would experience maybe being arrested and beaten or worse. So can you imagine some of the emotions that they would have been experiencing? Obviously, as Gaynor alluded to, I've been kind of like getting myself into the zone of imagining, feeling, getting in touch with good emotions, and maybe not so good emotions, but all emotions are good in that sense. But they would have met a whole range, an extreme of emotions. So they would have felt, grief, loss, shock, disappointment, disorientation. They'd have felt broken. Then, in the midst of these emotions, it's amazing, verse 19. It's staggering what happens here. In the midst of this, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So the word for peace, shalom, is used in the New Testament. And this word speaks of safety or completeness, or where something that is broken is mended, is healed. I just love what's going on here. I mean, can you see what's going on here? Jesus comes through the locked doors and he stands like among them. Like, I almost imagine that he positions himself right in the center or of the group, and he stands there. He shows himself to them and says, "Shalom, peace be with you." It's staggering, actually, just what he does. Do we sometimes feel like Jesus' disciples before he came and stood among them? Do we sometimes feel like that? Do we sometimes feel fearful, lost, broken? Actually, in much of our world today, actually, we see these things going on. We see things that need to be fixed. This word broken seems to be talked about a lot. The system's broken, the country's broken, the economy's broken. We can feel broken ourselves. In ourselves, in our relationships, with those close to us, Actually, for, you know, like in our own family, I know, I think it was only last week Gaynor came off the phone chatting to her dad, and she just said, I feel sad. You know, her dad's got dementia and he can't use nouns, you know, the conversations, like the relationship's so declined. It's not what it was. You know, there's a sadness, there's a grief. You know, she can feel her dad's anxiety. You know, his brain is dying. You know, or I can remember in the early years of Gain Live when we were married, I can remember that when we were just like, I mean, we're still confronted with our selfishness, but we were particularly confronted with our selfishness in those first few years, and just wrestling things out, not on the same page, trying to learn how to work together as a team and in terms of team marriage. And there were these kind of, what I describe as like dark cloud days, where there was this cloud, this barrier. And actually, yeah, sometimes we face those even 31 years on. You know, today, you know, people, like, we feel our brokenness. We feel these things. You know, in our country, we can feel a tangible kind of lostness or a feeling of fearfulness or hopelessness. You know, where people actually, they just don't know their way out. You know, if you're working in any way where you're caring industry or whatever, we feel it, we see it, we know. I mean, we know in the news that changing the Prime Minister is not going to change that. Whereas, it's amazing what we've been singing about today, whereas we know that Jesus is the hope. You know, he's the one and only one that can come and bring healing, can fix the broken world, can fix and heal broken relationships. You know, and actually, what I love about these few verses is Jesus doesn't just come and stand among them and say, shalom, you know, be complete, be reassured, be at peace, be healed. He doesn't just use words, does he? He uses actions. He shows them. I mean, just look at the text. It's so how we're wired. It's so what we need. In verse 20, he says, look, see my hands. You know, see my side. Look, there's evidence here. Look, you saw me nailed to the cross. You heard me cry out on the cross, it is finished. You know, you saw the soldier put the spear into my side, and water and blood flowed. You know, clear medical evidence that death had occurred. And now I'm here. It's like, now I'm here. I'm standing in your midst. I'm alive. I have overcome death. You know, I have overcome our final enemy. And I'm here standing among you, back with you. You know, you, like, this is the incredible thing, isn't it? I mean, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14 spells it out, what's happening here. You know, he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. You know, this barrier, this dark cloud between us and God. It's like, it's just like, just that standing there, just this is, he's using words, actions, there's now no barrier. We receive our wholeness, we receive forgiveness, we receive what it is to be with Jesus, you know, receive his new life. We receive this wonderful, like the dwelling of God, we prayed about, the dwelling of God, it's... He's making it really clear in words and in actions. So you can imagine that they're glad. Verse 20, I think one of the most like understated verses. The disciples were glad. I mean, they are ecstatic. like a big whooping going on. And actually, we are too. We are glad. Whatever's going on in our lives, whatever's going on in this world, this is true. Jesus is risen from the dead. We have this perfect, wonderful relationship. God, by his Spirit, is with us. Nothing can change that. We prayed it. Nothing can separate us from his love. I mean, this just is staggering. There's nothing else that needs. This is the most important thing. And we're living in the good of this. I think let's just have a pause moment, actually. You know, I wonder if, you know, there's some of us particularly feeling anxieties and fears or disappointments, particularly aware of that. Actually, let's just have a moment to receive. I think it's good, isn't it? Just to receive what we're hearing. Maybe if you're able to, let's just encourage you to stand up. Actually, if you're able to, let's just stand up, or just put your hands out in front of you. Jesus, we receive your shalom. We receive the truth. We receive by faith that you are now standing among us. The dwelling of God is with us. We receive by faith that you have got rid of all the barriers. You deal with our brokenness. You invite us in to be with you, to be filled by your Spirit. Thank you that you come right down into the depth of our emotions. You come right alongside us in our fears, in our anxieties, in our worries, in our concerns. So Jesus, we receive your shalom now in the depth of our being with the things that that are troubling us. We receive you right in those things, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Grab. Do take a seat. Okay, so we're now getting to the verse that I want to spend a bit of time on. Verse 21. Where Jesus is saying to the disciples, he's saying to us, as the Father has sent me, even so, I am sending you. Now, in the New Testament's written in Greek, in the original language, and it's in the Greek, the word for sent means, big drum roll, means to be sent, basically, means to be dispatched. Well, what does that mean in our context? Actually, in most church meetings, as part of their service, like we have like a sending out moment at the end. And in some formal church services, it's called a benediction or a dismissal or a commissioning. And it really marks the transition from the gathered body to the scattered witness, where you're being sent back out to your homes, to your neighborhoods, you know, where you work, schools, colleges. And you're sent back out to be a witness of Jesus, the Son of God, the one that you've encountered, the one who fills us with his peace, with his Holy Spirit. You're sent back out. So, I mean, know, this is true, isn't it? True for us. I know for Gain and I, we're like leaning into this a bit more in our sort of new kind of empty nesting kind of stage of life. And like, we want to spend more time with, not just with people in the church. It'd be good to spend time with people who are not in church. And so Gain has got a part-time job Monday and Tuesday at Bradford College to kind of mix and mingle and serve the community in that way. And we've got more things to talk about. You know, in our church tradition, actually, this sending moment at the end is usually quite informal. So the meeting leader would kind of maybe remind us, do a bit of a recap of something that's happened in the talk, one of the responses, or maybe like one of the notices. I think I was at Airedale not so long ago, and Viv was there at the end of the meeting. You know, here's the alpha flyer, the alpha invite, and he's like, make sure you've got one of these in your bag, in your pocket, in your wallet, you know, ready. You never know, an opportunity that you might have that week. Or can you remember, we going to mention the pandemic, but can you remember, some of you will remember that we did these chat Zooms, and at the end of it, I would say, like, let's put a virtual hand kind of to left and right and pray for the people on the screen either side of you to be filled with the Spirit. You know, like, it's a sending moment. When I did a bit of reading up on this, and I found it's interesting to learn that in the early church and the Catholics, they've really fully invested in this kind of sending moment, because they've named their main service, their whole service, Mass. And the word Mass comes from the Latin dismissal phrase, which is this, Ete missae est, and it roughly means go, you are sent. So you'll come into a meeting called go, you are sent. it really makes the point, actually, that we're not just, like, you know, floating through life, I don't know, wearing sandals, strumming our guitars on this kind of endless bank holiday, waiting for Jesus' return. No, we've got purpose. Jesus has given us a purpose. Our purpose is to represent him, to be a witness, to carry God's presence out into the world. Acts 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, Becky mentioned our vision, you know, loving Jesus, growing together, reaching Yorkshire and the nations. And we were having a chat as a leadership team recently about, actually, we're kind of almost mirroring Acts 1 verse 8, you know, where your witness is in Jerusalem, like the place where you live, and then the neighbouring towns, Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. And we thought, actually, we've missed out the place where you live. We've done reaching Yorkshire and the nations, but actually maybe we should insert reaching Shipley, Yorkshire and the nations, or reaching Bradford, Yorkshire and the nations. So you never know, we might change our banners. But actually, notice in that verse, it's not just you'll be my witnesses. It's actually, no, first, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then, so a very important distinction, it's not like we're just going out in our own strength. Actually, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness. Actually, the Greek word to be sent, it carries a sense of being kind of dispatched forcefully, like thrust out. And I know the word power here is like dynamite. It's dynamis. It carries that sense of explosive power. And my imaginative brain kind of thinks in pictures. And I have this picture of a human cannonball. I don't know if you've ever. I think there's a pic. We've got a picture of it. Here you go. So here is David Smith, and in 2018 he set the record for being, like, for the longest distance that you can be placed. So he's placed in this human cannon, and he's fired out. Got that? So you can see you can see him, can't you? The picture. He's fired out of this big cannon, and he gets up to, anyone know how far he's gone? What the record is? It's just shy of 60 metres. You can watch it on YouTube. But it's like this is the picture. We are sent with power. I mean, it's like, I love the picture. It's like, it's not like, shall I go or shall I not? You know, it's like we're compelled by the Holy Spirit. It's like, shall I be a witness? It's like we are, boom, it's like we're off. The Holy Spirit comes on us and filled with him, and we're off. Absolutely consumed with his love, his presence. That's the picture. I mean, we'll have a time in a moment to just receive the Holy Spirit. So just like sometimes this sending is where you live, your home. Sometimes it is literally like sending away. There's another word for that called I can't say it now. I'll come back to that. Apostolos, there you go, which means sent away. And actually, so for Gaynor and I, that's what happened. In a prayer meeting in 2007, we were with a bunch of a load of other leaders, and we were praying. We were very happily settled serving Jesus in a church in the south, in High Wycombe, cracking on with all that God was doing there. And we were in a prayer meeting where, a lot of you know the story, we were praying for different places around the world, whether it was Beijing, Birmingham, Berlin. But we had 5 minutes on praying for the M62 corridor, churches to be started in Yorkshire. And I'm like, after 2 hours of praying for all these places I don't really know much about, I am pretty done. But I go, all right, let's keep being faithful. I thought I'll stand up, I'll raise my hands, and I'll pray for these more places I don't really know anything about. But as I stood up and made that decision to pray, I just sensed the Holy Spirit come on me, and I had this picture of like being lifted up, moved up the country, kind of sent down onto these places where there's green fields, lots of people, and just started weeping with compassion for the people that lived in that area. And it's a little bit like that sort of, for me, it was like a human cannon being sent off. So sometimes it can happen literally, this sending. I just want to talk a little bit about what Matt was talking about, because for Gaynor and I, our primary gift mix is more apostolic, and I want to just explain what that means. It's obviously it's from this apostolos, one who's sent away, but it's part of a list of five gifts. So just bear with me for 5 minutes while I just explain that, because I think it's helpful for us to see how this fits in Scripture. So Ephesians 4, we read Ephesians 4:11, and we can see that Christ himself gave these gifts. So gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up. So there's these five different gifts. I mean, there's loads of gifts, obviously, listed in the body of Christ. You know, we're part of a body. But in this particular verse, it picks up on these five different gifts. And we can get what prophets are. We probably have an idea that they're obviously speaking God's word to the church, and it's great to hear, you know, like you guys are moving the prophetic, and I hear people like Pete or Jill and others, you know, bringing prophetic words. And evangelists, we'll kind of maybe get a little bit about what they are. So like their job is to equip the church to share Jesus with people, to be a witness. And I know there's people that we're in a relationship with that are really good at that. Actually, Airedale have got Steve Hurd, who's known to be really good on this, and he's going there about like five or six times this year to help train them. Pastors, I mean, yes, we can really get what that is, and it's great. You've got Becky here. You've got a wonderful pastor, and actually, her job, if you look at the text, her job isn't to look after the flock. Her job is to equip you to look after the flock, and this is an important distinction because you can see that verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. So these gifts are to equip us to do the job, and you do. And what's so Becky's job is to make sure there's a structure in place for that support and care of one another, and the Connect leaders do an amazing job in helping Becky with that. And Becky meets with different teams, with the youth team, the children's team, to work that out. So you're all part of that team. And then you've got teachers. We've obviously sent Mark and Joy off, and Mark was a really good example of a teaching gift that not only taught but also trained others to teach. But it was really encouraging for Gain and I when we came back from our sabbatical in February. We rocked up here and Thomas was preaching, and then the next week went over to Airedale and Thomas was there preaching. It was like, wherever we go, Thomas will be there. And but actually, that you've got some really good teachers that are among you, you know, hearing you, Lucy, Pete, and I know Johnny has, and Becky and Matt. You know, you're really good at this. You're really good. But what is this apostolic gift? Well, Terry Virgo, he unpacks it in his last chapter of this book, Spirit-Filled Church, and really, what he explains is the apostolic is their main gift is to go and start new churches and then help lay or relay foundations. So it could be not just start a church, but it could be spend some time in a church to help, you know, get the foundations to go a bit deeper. Now, what are the foundations? I mean, there could be lots of things. We have, if you look at the next slide, it will, I mean, you know, we're different seasoned apostolic leaders have written books on what the foundations are, and this is one of my go-to by David Devenish. And there's some key things. Obviously, that Christ is in the center of everything we do. It would be a key kind of foundation. The gospel is preached. That we're a grace movement, that we're people of grace. You know, we're word and spirit. We want both, being faithful to God's word, open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's lots of other things. Interesting, number 9 gets missed sometimes. Actually, the reality of what we've been talking about today, we are a suffering community. Well, there's one day when there'll be no more tears, no more pain. But at the moment, we are sharing in the fellowship of Jesus' suffering. So, I did a bit of an experiment, and we're going to sort of come into land soon. I did a bit of an experiment with AI, and I typed in, what's the role of the apostle in the New Testament with Bible verses in a UK church? And it came up with the next slide, which actually is pretty good, except I've corrected it because it made one mistake. And the mistake was, it said in the first bit, it said equipping, the apostolic action was equipping leaders. And it's wrong. It's equipping the saints, and we're all the saints. So it's equipping the church. But you can see some other things there. So for Gainer and I, our primary gift mix, we see and understand is apostolic. So we can lend ourselves to the other gifts, but it helps give you some explanation to what Matt was saying. It's like, actually, you won't see us that much. Because we're at other churches, we're being shared, we're being sent, And I know that, you know, it's proportional. So for Gaynor and I, you know, like for myself, for my part-time days, some of my part-time days are spent within City Valley Church, and some of it is being shared with other places and, you know, helping with other churches to help them do church planting or, you know, and I can come back another time and share some of the other things that we're involved in to actually really, so that we're part of this. You know, we're part of the school of leaders that we're helping get started in Tanzania. You know, like to, you know, the past few years we've seen 100 pastors and assistant pastors trained in a Bible school, and that's something that, you know, I've been involved in, and Viv's been involved in, and so we're involved in this. You know, this is something that we're, but I can tell you more about that at another time. I'm just wanting to, like, come into land and just recognize that this whole verse, Jesus stands among us and says, you know, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. This is like, it is, just to get your head around this, as the Father has sent Jesus, so I'm sending you. Can you see there's an equivalent? In the same way that the Father has sent Jesus, we are being sent. Like Jesus, like how many times do you read he was full of the Holy Spirit? we're not given a mini portion. Like we are the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with his Holy Spirit. The same way that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, we are filled. Amazing, isn't it? And then you hear Jesus talking about this, like, I only do what I hear the Father doing. You know, this dependency. You know, like, we've got the same access to Jesus, to catch his heart through his word, through encouragement with one another, through hearing his voice, this abiding with him, this dependency on him. It's the same. We're like this oneness. It's not God's a few steps away from us. He's right with us. We are in Christ. We are with him. And then we have this final verse. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I think it'd be really good to respond. Maybe, Mike, if you can come back up. And I just think it would be really good to just have a moment now of receiving the breath of God. Receiving that power that Jesus comes to fill us with. So just encourage us to, if we're able to, let's get back to where, let's stand up again. And just put our hands out in front of us.
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been blessed by this talk today. If you would like to know more about our church, where we meet, or would like to speak with someone from City Valley, please visit our website at cityvalley.org.